And now I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you a really deep philosophical question.
Just what I want.
You know, according to one of the great philosophers of our time, Snoop Dogg, the best plans are no plans.
You know, sounds like insanity.
Yeah, it does. Okay, that's not what I was going to talk. I just had to throw that in there for a laugh. My wife said I'm not jovial enough, so I'm trying to be more jovial today.
Look at that.
Okay, here we go. So have you ever just thought about thinking?
Yep.
You know, it's kind of a thing that goes around and around. You think about thinking. You know, it's you, when you're growing up as a little baby, I was thinking about this because we have little Sydney now, and, you know, he reacts to stuff. But when does it click in the brain that you really start thinking? You know, it's kind of a gradual thing. It just happens over time, and somewhere along the line, you know, you just kind of learn by rote, but then you start trying to analyze or figure out stuff on your own. You have ideas and observations. Sometimes it goes so fast, your mind, that you want it to stop. You know, you get thoughts bombarding you, and you just say, okay, I got to slow this down. Well, at least some of us do. And yet some people don't seem to think at all. They just kind of react to the physical stimuli around them. But God gave us a mind, didn't he? He gave us a mind to think. He gave us a mind to process information, physical information and spiritual information. And the greatest thing God did with our mind is he designed it to receive his word and to be able to receive spiritual information via the Spirit. The great principle is God's Spirit, which is now your Spirit, teaches your mind, or God's Spirit teaches your spirit, which then teaches your mind, right? And we know that from Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I want you to go to chapter 4. God wants us to think about things that he tells us, to dwell on them and consider them. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and this is right after, you know, it talks about don't be anxious and all that stuff. And it says, finally, brethren, finally, or henceforth, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you know, just muddle through it.
Think on these things.
Yeah, think on these things. Think on these things. We're supposed to think about these things. We're not just supposed, oh yeah, that's a great verse, how beautiful. We're supposed to think about it. In the working translation, it says, henceforth, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if it is any virtue and it is any praise, consider these things. Consider them. We're to hold them in our mind, and we are to consider them. It's kind of interesting. There's actually three different figures of speech in this verse to emphasize things. One is anaphora. Anaphora is like sentence beginnings, which is whatever or whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's to emphasize each thing that it's saying. You know, so it's to emphasize true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtue and praise. And then the second thing is, of course, is asyndeton. It's a list of things without ands, right? And then finally is a thing called chiasmos. What the heck is that?
Summation?
No. Good guess. It's a cross-reference, basically. In other words, the first relates to the last, and then the second relates to the next one, and then the next one, the third one, relates to the other one, so that they cross over. So just thought I'd throw that in there for your own benefit and blessing. And then he goes on to say, in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So this really, these two verses go together. The thought continues on. So it reads in the Working Translation, after he goes through the list of things, he says, which you also learned and received and heard and saw in me. So Paul's saying, I gave you this list of things to consider, and I taught you these things, and you received it, and you saw me live those things. I was an example to you. I showed you how these things live in my life. So then he says, practice these things. You know, it says in the King James, do these things, or do, but it's practice these things, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And that God of peace there is the genitive of origin. It means peace, the peace that comes from God will be with you. Not that God's always with us, right? But his peace. You'll have his peace. So, the word true is an interesting word. It says, you know, whatsoever things are true, and it's, I'm not going to give you the Greek words. If you want to know them, I'll give them to you after. But it means to be open, real, actual. You know, and so that would really be the opposite of being a hypocrite. It's you know, to be real. This is what you see is me. This is really me, right? So he says, you know, to be true, to be real, as opposed to being false. Then the word honest means to be dignified, venerable, or noble. And of course, to be noble or venerable or dignified would be, you know, according to God's word. You know, you conduct yourself in a dignified manner. You don't act like an idiot. The word just is the word dikaios. It's the same word that's translated righteous. It means to be right, with no fault or defect. The word pure is hagnos. Hagnos, that's, you know, we get pneuma hagion, you know, is from that same word, holy. And it means chaste or clean. There's no impurity or defilement. And this really all has to do with your mind, right? And then lovely means to be dear or pleasing or agreeable. We're to be agreeable people. And of good report, which means words of good import or acclamation, enthusiastic approval. You know, we're to approve the things of God and be enthusiastic about life. And then it says, if there be any virtue, and the word virtue is moral excellence, or what gives worth, means to be admirable. And praise, which means commendation, approbation, praiseworthy. Could also be translated glory. And the word think is the word logizomai, which, if you remember when we looked through Romans, that's a very big word, and it's translated many times reckon. But it means to take an account of, you know. So it's not just think about, or it's not just consider, but it's take account of, you know, really put it in your brain and think about it and line it up and understand it and hold it there and do your best with it. So what a cool thing. So Paul says, look at me. And the words, I'll go on. So Paul says, look at me. I was your example. I taught you these things when I was with you. And if you remember, he was with them. You saw me put those things into practice. So practice them. And the God of peace, or, you know, the God who has made peace and gives peace, you know, it'll be with you. This is a directive. It's not, you know, a request. It's not, you know, just, you know, oh, well, that's great. I'll think about it. Yeah, put it on the shelf and, you know, someday maybe I'll need it. But we're to think about it. We're to consider it. We're to account for it in our minds. Verse 8 says, think or consider. Put them in your heart. Hold them there. Verse 9 says, you learned it when you heard it. You received it from Paul and you saw that he lived and conducted his life in that way. So he says, practice, do it, practice it. You know, what does practice mean? Practice makes perfect, right? If you want to be good at anything, you have to practice. And that's not just in sports or physical things, but it's with your mind. You know, with your mind too, you have to practice things. You have to practice holding good, solid, godly thoughts in your mind. You have to hold, you know, to be honest. You have to remind yourself to be honest, to be venerable, dignified. You have to learn to be agreeable and pleasant to be with and all that stuff. You remind yourself because you're a believer. You represent God in everything you do. Your life is a witness. Our lives are witnesses, and they can be good witnesses or bad witnesses. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul said, you know, look at me, look what I did. He said, you heard these things, you saw me do them. In verse 3 it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know, he laid out his life for them, right? He didn't hide, you know, well, you know, I was a drug addict once, but I don't want anybody to know it. Or I was in jail once and I got born again, but I don't want anybody to know it. You know, he didn't do that. He laid it out. Man, I was rotten. I was raised as a Hebrew and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I was sold out 100%, so much so that I persecuted the church. And that implied what? He did a lot of bad things. He had people dragged out of their house and thrown in jail and tortured and all kinds of stuff. And he says to the saints at Philippi, hey, look, I'm being honest with you. This is what I was in the past. He says, but what things were gained, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, but those things don't matter anymore. They're all worthless compared to Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do but count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know, sometimes we get this attitude if we do something for God, you know, for the fellowship or whatever, you're doing them a favor. You ever get that? You know what? He did us a favor. And we should be so blessed and thankful that we can do anything for God. We should just be thankful that we can. He's, you know, oh, I gave up this so I could do this, you know, or I gave up that so I could, you know, be at fellowship. What? Give me a break. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness is by God by faith, or believing. We believed in Jesus Christ. We believe from the heart unto righteousness, right? Amazing. Then verse 13, it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, verse 13.
15.
Oh, I'm reading 15. Oh, sorry. Let's go back to 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Apprehended means, you know, understand. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what a high calling we have. You know, he's, you know, and these are things that he wants us to think about, and that fits into the category of those things. You know, if you realize what a high calling God's called you to, then you're going to conduct your life in a different manner, right? You want to be an example to other people of the honesty in your life, the integrity in your life, of how you live and how you take care of things in your life. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any thing we are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind or think the same thing. Meaning we need to think about these things that God has done for us and what he's given us. That we're righteous, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, that we are children of God, we're joint heirs with Christ, and everything we have is because of what Christ did for us. And so everything else pales in comparison, and that we get the honor and the privilege and the joy of walking for God and serving him in our lives. How cool. You know, it was in Philippia that Paul met Lydia, the seller of purple by the river, and witnessed to her, and her whole family believed. And then it was there that he went about preaching the word, and the woman that was possessed followed them day and night until finally he got fed up with it, and he cast the devil spirit out, and the guys that controlled her and made money off of her, they took him before the magistrates, and they got beaten and thrown in jail. That's what the believers at Philippi saw in Paul's life. So what did they do? They got thrown in jail, and they cried and they moaned and they complained. They said, oh man, we work for you, God, and look what you did. You let us get thrown in jail. They didn't call a lawyer. What did they do? They sat there at midnight. It says they sang praises and prayed to God. And then all of a sudden there was an earthquake. Their chains and manacles fell off their hands and legs. And then the jailer came in and he was scared to death. And they said he was going to kill himself because if his prisoners escaped, then he would have faced death because that was the penalty for not taking care of his responsibility. And then Paul said, don't do that. And the guy got born again, his family, and everything turned out great. Well, that's what they saw of Paul's life, how he conducted it. In the worst of situations, in the best of situations, he spoke the word of God. He conducted himself with dignity, and he was a pleasing, wonderful person that loved people. And then when he got hit with a crisis, he still was the same guy. But he went to God. He didn't quit on God. He just stood fast on the word of God and trusted God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. So when he wrote this stuff and he said to them, you know, think on these things, and I'm the guy that taught you this stuff, they understood. They understood what kind of guy he was. They understood how he had conducted his life. Chapter 2 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And verse 1, it says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain," or "it was not without purpose." Now, this is not Philippi, obviously. This is where Paul went after Philippi, I believe, right? And we'll read on. "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention," or "with all our strength." You know, so he had to go through all that stuff at Philippi. And then the next stop on his itinerary was Thessalonica, and he still did the same thing. He still conducted himself the same way. He still did the same things. And so he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "You know how I was, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." You know, he wasn't going there to trick them. He wasn't going there to make money. He wasn't going there to have an easy life or, you know, improve his physical life at all. He was going there to preach the gospel. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And, you know, whenever you speak the word, whether it's me or you or anybody, and we teach the word, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God. You know, and if it hurts your feelings or it offends you, it's not me that offends you. It's God's word that offends you if I'm teaching the right thing, right? "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel," and the word trust there is a form of the word pistis. It's pistia. "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." You know, some of you guys watch some of the evangelists on TV or listen on the radio and stuff, and some of those guys are pretty good. But some of them are just there so they make money. And just being honest, when we lived in Akron, there was a guy, and he had a television show, nationwide television show, and he had a big church there, and he was about as phony as a $3 bill. He lived in this huge mansion, and in the front of his house, because somebody gave him a gift, he had a totem pole. What's a totem pole? It's an idol. But he thought it was cool because these people gave him a gift. You know, he was dopey. And, you know, there's a parable that Jesus Christ teaches. It says, "Would a man build a tower without counting the cost?" I don't know if you're familiar with that. He talks, you know, would you take on a big project without counting the cost so that you would run out of money or have a problem? Well, this guy was going to build this 250-foot tower and put a revolving restaurant on the top of it. I don't know what that has to do with teaching the word of God, but so they poured the concrete, and he had this gigantic phallic symbol standing in his parking lot, and he ran out of money. So anyway, back to this. "So neither any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of man sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostle of Christ." You know, they weren't burdensome. They didn't come and say, "Okay, you got to take care of me and do this and do that." "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." You know, how much does a nursing mother, you know, hold that baby close to her breast and care for it and watch over it and love it and take, and, you know, keep it nice and warm and comfortable? "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, our own life, because you were dear, beloved unto us. For remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You know, Paul supported himself as he traveled, right? He was, you know, whether he was a tent maker or a saddle maker, you know, that's up for debate. But he had his tools, he had his things, and wherever he went, he could ply his trade. And sometimes the believers, you know, he taught the believers to give, and then at times they supported him and helped him. But at other times, he collected money to bring it back to Jerusalem because they were starving, and to help the church there. He didn't end up a rich man. He didn't get a yacht and float on the Mediterranean. Where'd I leave off? Verse 9, going to 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And the whole purpose of his teaching was so they could do what? Walk worthy. Walk worthy of what they had been called to. And his whole purpose in writing that stuff to the Philippians was so that they could be worthy of the calling, to walk worthy, walk according to the word of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's not like Paul had an easy time, because people accused him of all kinds of stuff. You know, they accused him of not being honest. And they accused him of teaching things that weren't accurate or honest. Because, you know, the Jews came behind him, those people that got born again, the Hebrews came behind him and said, well, yeah, what Paul taught was nice, but you still have to keep the law. You still have to get circumcised. And, you know, he's just making money off of you guys. And, you know, you need to listen to us, not to him. That's the way it was. That's the way it always is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, we work hard at this ministry. He and Silvanus and Timotheus and all the guys, Luke, that were with him, they worked hard. They traveled. You imagine traveling those days, all the places they went, and we studied it in Acts, you know. And most of the time, They did take boats, but most of the time they walked. Maybe they hitched a ride on a camel or something, I don't know, but most of the time they walked. But have renounced, see, we have this mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Again, they were honest. They were forthright and upfront about everything they did. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. You know, that's what it was all about, teaching the truth of the salvation of Jesus Christ. What a great thing. What a great man Paul was. What a great thing they did. So, you know, back to verse 9 in Philippians, he said, do these things, and peace that comes from God will be with you. Peace in your heart, true peace, not just relief from my anxiety. You know, sometimes that's what people think. Well, I just need some relief. I need to get relaxed, and I need a beer so I can just relax because I had a stressful day. What? You know, I remember when I first got into Word and I was around some guys and they did a meeting, and after the meeting, they had a glass of whiskey because they said, well, we got to relax. It was so stressful. And I thought, what? You know, when I teach a big meeting or when I do a fellowship, I don't have to take a drink after. I'm not stressed. I'm blessed. I'm so thankful that I get to teach the Word of God. It just makes my week. I don't get stressed. You know, God's peace is that quiet confidence, that total reliance and trust in God. That's the peace from God. So when Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail, did they panic? No, they prayed. They went to God and sang praises. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, now he's writing to Corinth, which he went to after he was at Philippi and Thessalonica, right? Then he goes down to Athens, then he goes to Corinth. And every place that he went, he had problems, right? Remember when he went to Athens, you know, they took him up on Mars Hill because they didn't like what he was preaching. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Asia was, you know, where Ephesus was and, you know, those areas in there. And he said, you know, when we were there, it was so tough we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, their whole trust, their whole confidence was that God would take care of them. You know, and Paul, what did he do? He got delivered from death. He got stoned. Right? And the believers came and they gathered around him and prayed for him and he got up. I don't know how badly he was injured or if he actually died or not, but getting stoned is not, and it's not little pebbles. Now they take like bricks, you know, the big stones and rocks and they throw at you. And they do it until you're down and out. What a crazy thing. Let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. You know, and these themes, the way Paul was and what he wrote, it runs through all the epistles. You know, he encourages people to think God's word. And his example was there for all of them to see all the time. He never hid what he did. You know, in Timothy, you know, in Philippians also, he talks about how he got thrown in jail and some people turned away from him because they were embarrassed because he got thrown in jail. Because why did he get thrown in jail, though? For preaching the gospel. Not for doing something stupid. Not for cheating the IRS or getting accused of doing something with a young girl or anything. He got thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. And he conducted his life in the open in front of everyone. Chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God in the renewed mind, which is the bond or the glue of perfection, of perfectness or maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it have dominion, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. And you know, that's what he says. You've got to put it in your heart, and then you have to practice it. You have to live it. Because if you know the whole Word of God from beginning to end and have all this great understanding, but you can't walk in love and you can't practice the principles that God has set forth, and you're not walking for God and serving Him, then you're wasting your time, you know, because it's all about doing it. And Paul set it out there and he said, think on these things whatsoever. Let's go back and read it again. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I should read Walter's translation. Henceforth, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if is any virtue and if is any praise, consider these things, which you also learned and received and heard and saw in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen and amen. So do these things. Practice them. Put them in your life. It's not just to tickle your fancy or memorize, but it's to do. It's to practice. It's to live. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the greatness and the perfection and the beauty of your word, how you just open up our eyes that we can understand so that we can walk with you better every day, that we can be more certain and more confident and believe bigger, that we can love people, that we can just be the best, and that we can conduct our lives in such a manner that when people see us, they know there's something different. So we just thank you for this, God, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.